Well, let's take our Bibles, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, good to be in the house of God. I'm glad to be back with you today.
Amen.
I was thinking for a little while, amen, I was thinking for a little while I wasn't going anywhere. Every time I turned around, somebody was saying, sit down. I said, my goodness. I thought, I'll fix him, I'll go to the doctor. He'll just say I got a cough. He said, lay down. And I thought, boy, I tell you what. But I'm glad to be back here with you. I appreciate everybody that helped out while I was gone and everything. It's a privilege to have you praying for me. Thank you so much. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. When you get there, hold your place there and look over at Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at two verses of Scripture, Luke 2:49 and 1 Peter 4:15. As we look at both these this morning, I want to show you something that will be a help to us today. And as we look in 1 Peter chapter 4 and Luke chapter 2. Now, you'll notice in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, he's addressing the crowd of Christians here, and he says this. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, we're going to concentrate on this verse right here. Why don't you look over at Luke chapter 2 for just a second. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. This is when Jesus was coming back from the Passover. He was a young child, 12 years old. And he got separated from his parents. And they went back and got him. They said, where are you at? And he said in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He says, and he said to them, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I be about my Father's business? Now, if you'll notice here, they asked Jesus. They said, where was you at this whole time? He said, listen, I was about my Father's business. He's our example. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, he says there about let none of you suffer. It says as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody. I'll preach today on the busybody. The busybody. You've been getting them sweet little messages from these preacher boys the last couple of weeks. I'm about listening. Miss Willis said, is that a theme you give Jason? Said he seems like he's picked out all blood songs. I thought, I'll put some blood and guts on the wall for you to go with that blood here in just a second. Amen. But I appreciate you being here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for letting us be here today and be alive. Lord, what a privilege and honor and blessing to see 2016. And Lord, pray, God, that you'll be with us and help us. Lord, as we enter this new year, help us, God, to walk with you, to follow after you, and do things for you, Lord. And Father, I ask today, God, as we look at this passage of Scripture, God, I pray you'd help me preach today like I've never preached before. I pray, God, you'd help everybody here in the sound of my voice to be helped by this message. God, if there's anybody here lost and undone, they'll get saved before we leave this place. For us, in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Notice, it's not time for a resolution, it's time for a revolution. And I do believe the message I'm going to preach today will help this church out tremendously if we'll just heed the words of it. Notice he says, let none of you suffer. This whole passage of Scripture right here in 1 Peter chapter 4, he talks about suffering. He said, think it not strange about the fiery trial which is to come and all this other things. And how as a Christian, without doing anything, you'll suffer. Anything at all. If you live for Jesus more than 20 minutes, you're going to suffer. I mean, listen, the suffering's going to come because the devil hates you. He hates your Lord. He hates everything about you. He hates the people you call friends. He hates your family. He hates your parents and he hates your children. He hates everybody and would like to put everybody in hell this morning. But when you get saved, he no longer has that right. So now he's going to turn around and try to mess up your life all he can. The four sins mentioned in verse number 15, he said, you'll suffer. Suffer in that, and listen, when you see the word suffer, that means either it's either word used for permission or it's a word used referring to pain. In this instance right here, it's not about permission, it's about pain. And all four of these sins listed in verse number 15, literally, he's not talking to a drunkard out on the street just committing these sins. He's not talking to some dope addict that's got his arm full of needle holes and or his pocket full of dope or something like that. He's not talking to a crowd that's against God and hates God and lives a lifestyle that's contrary to God. No, he's talking to people just like you and me sitting right here. And he says, let none of you suffer in pain for these type of sins. And you will suffer for these sins. But notice this thing here. I'm going to concentrate on that one down there. Busy body.
Amen.
Busy body. Now, I noticed the condition of the busy body. If you know what a busy body is, you might be one. Let me read the definition to you and see if you are one, okay? busybody and the condition you're in right now is one who busies himself with what does not concern him or her.
How about that?
They make sure they find out what everybody's business is and never concern, never realize that it's none of their business. That's a busybody. Listen, that's somebody who pries into the affairs of another. What are you doing over there? What are you doing over there? It's one attempt to control or direct somebody as if they were their robot or something.
Yeah.
I got a remote control car when I was a kid. Back then, they had lines on them.
Yeah.
And you had a little steering wheel, and you go two directions, forward, backwards, right, left. And you couldn't do all these fancy things and flip them things and all that. But listen, somebody's a busybody, they think they got a remote control on your life.
Mm.
What they attempt to do is run your affairs as if it's their right to do so.
Yeah.
See, the condition of the busybody is we find a lack of work in the busybody. If you'll notice, the Bible tells us this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, says that, for we hear there's some which walk among you, the Bible says, disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. See, there's a lack of work in the busybody. The reason they got so much time to attend to your affairs, and the reason why a busybody tries to do something like that, is because they don't have anything to do.
Why?
You say, I ain't got nothing to do. Listen, let me bring some of these chief health inspectors by your kitchen and see if you got anything you need to do. Let's see if we can listen. Everybody complains about these little foreign restaurants, how, well, they don't get them good ratings on the door sometimes. Better watch out for them places. How about your place? You're so worried about their place. What about your place?
Come on.
I mean, could the health inspector show up at your house and your kitchen pass inspection?
Yeah.
Are you so worried about McDonald's up there? Well, they had dirt on the floor. They dirt your floor? Listen, if you're a busybody, you always worry about somebody else's stuff. And the reason being, you don't do nothing. You lazy thing, you. Get busy. Do something. Except be a busybody. And the condition of the busybody, there's no work in their life. They're always trying to manage somebody else's affairs. Listen, I got some rules that'll help you out here. Just some simple things. Number one, before you ever talk about your neighbor's grass, cut your own. Number two, before you ever talk about their carpets being dirty, you better vacuum your own.
Right.
Number three, before you ever talk about their car being dirty, you better wash yours.
Right. Yeah,
I keep going. I live and breathe as you do, finally. And I'll say this. We need to make sure we take care of us and quit trying to take care of everybody else. Because what happens is we start taking care of everybody else, we don't take care of us.
Yeah.
I see a lot of folks, they try to go out and they say, well, listen, I'm going to do such and such. Those people are stupid. They this, that, and other. Listen, don't say that about people. You're stupid just like them. Because you're so stupid, you think you make them do something that they won't do for themselves.
Yeah, right.
See, the condition of the busybody, we find that there's a lack of work, and we find that there's an abundance of words. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, and with all, it says, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things that they ought not.
Yeah.
And listen, in this day and age in which Peter wrote to these people, just imagine this, they didn't have cell phones or Facebook. And yet they was finding their way to go from house to house. How much quicker can they get there now? For the three of you that's still with me and you are not offended yet, listen, let me tell you something. He said, don't be that. He says that crowd, he said they is speaking things that they ought not to have more words than they have wisdom. I found out something about if you talk a lot, you get in trouble. And if you're a busybody, you constantly pick at somebody wanting to find out what they're doing, so you tell them what to do. It seems to me that I find out over the years that the people I know that are the wisest people I've ever met in my life are usually already in heaven.
Yeah.
It's only in their absence you realize where you're missing.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of folks this day and age, they say, listen, they'll see somebody wise on the scene or pass off the scene, and they'll try to put themselves in that spot. That ain't your place.
Right.
That ain't your place. Everybody's not destined to be a leader. Everybody's not destined to be a supervisor on your job. Everybody's not destined to be the lead man. Everybody's not destined to be the manager. Some folks, like us, we got to be the followers.
Right.
And all of us got to not be busybodies. I noticed that, listen, we see the condition of the busybody, but look at this verse again. Look at verse 15. He said, let none of you suffer as a murderer. I'll show you his companions. A murderer, a thief, or an evildoer. The busybody is in the company of killers. And when I say killers, that's not somebody who defends their home. If somebody breaks in your home and they threaten to kill your family, if you take their life in self-defense, that doesn't make you a murderer or a killer or anything.
Right.
But notice this. This murderer he speaks of here is somebody who's found guilty of murder, cold-blooded murder, premeditated murder, somebody that for joy, pleasure, or whatever, revenge, has killed somebody.
Right.
I know a lot of you say, well, I wouldn't hang around with such as that. Well, if you're busybody, that's one of your best friends right there. Because, see, Jesus defined murder in a different way than everybody else did. The law was written, said, thou shalt not kill. And Jesus said, you think you got off lucky because you ain't physically done it? He said, if you've done it in your heart, you might as well have done it. He says, listen, there's your company right there. You're around a bunch of haters. Hate, 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 hate. All them haters. And you know what? You one of them, you busybody. Listen here. He said, he points out that you're in the company of killers and in the company of thieves there. He said that suffer not as a murderer or as a thief. I noticed that a thief may not be somebody that steals cars or robs banks. A thief is anybody who steals anything. You ever heard somebody tell about these little white lies? They say, just a little white lie means it don't count. Well, there's thieves like that too. I met somebody one time that told me this. They said they go up to one of these secondhand stores and they find a price tag on it for like a dollar, and they'll take that dollar tag off, put a 25-cent tag on it, because they figure that the people in the back's already got what they wanted out of stuff, so they justify their own sin by doing that. You know what that's called? A thief.
Right.
A thief. Somebody shot lists from Walmart. They say, well, listen, that's a multi-billion-dollar corporation. They mark that stuff up. They get it from China for 10 cents, sell it for $2. Yeah, I stole it. You are a thief.
Right.
You're not justified in it. I don't care if they're the wickedest thing on the face of the earth and they sell an Antichrist symbols up there to be tattooed on your forehead. You don't steal from them. That's a thief that does that. Not only in the company of killers and the company of thieves, but you'll notice that verse 15, he said, or as an evildoer. I did some studying on evildoers, and I found out when the Bible refers to an evildoer, that's like a convicted criminal. That's somebody who has been tried in a public court. A jury of their peers has saw the evidence. The judge seen it. They found them guilty. All the evidence was there no matter what they said.
Yeah.
And this type of evildoer is somebody that once they fall into this type of lifestyle will generally be in it for the rest of their life. Barring the grace of God, they'll be an evildoer for the rest of their existence.
Right.
And a busybody will yoke up with somebody like that. And the way they do this thing, simply they say, will you be my friend? Can I trust you? And that evildoer says, yeah, you can trust me. Can you trust them? No, you can't trust people like that. Because the next TV they take to the pawn shop will be yours.
Yeah.
I know you got a 52-inch widescreen TV just to watch the news on, but they'll take that to the pawn shop.
Yeah.
They'll take your video games. They'll take your shotguns. They'll take anything they have. And you wonder, how did my friend do me that way? Who wasn't your friend?
Right.
That's your companion. That's who you've been running with. And a busybody will always be a companion to somebody like that. And that evildoer, that person is like that, that constantly goes out and tries to get into a mess like that, that one's got a busybody for a friend. You ever wonder how them people get caught? I'll tell you how they get caught. Their buddies tell on them. Because see, their buddies will come along and they'll say, well, we're going to go up here to this store up here beside the Waffle House and we're going to go in there and shoplift it. And I seen the video myself. Two young people walk in there, and boy, one distracted the worker, doesn't it? Whole time the camera filming both of them.
Yeah.
The Gaffney Police Department just did this. They put on Facebook and said, who are these people? Boy, they had 1,000 replies. I sent a couple of y'all's names in. I thought it might have been some of y'all. They said that's some kind of reward. I wanted that too. Hey, man, listen. But I noticed that those busybodies was the ones that told on the evildoers. Ain't that something? You know the detective's best friend is criminals. Because they'll listen, if you just tell on them, I'll knock 2 weeks off. What? Oh, yeah, well, it was such and such. I'll give you the pictures of it. Here, look here. We took selfies while we was doing it. Here, I got them on my phone right here. They'll dime you out, man. But there's a confusion that goes along with busybodies I want to show you, too. He points out these people are a busybody in other men's matters. I read this preacher said that Peter says about the confusion of the busybody, says that we ought not to be suffering for our own sins. God never tests us with sin. He never tests us with evil, as the Epistle of James makes that abundantly clear. Excuse me. This self-appointed meddling busybody has given themselves over to one of the worst sins in the Bible. And listen, I've heard people describe what they think is the worst sin, and I've heard this and say it. I won't say this. What I'm fixing to tell you is one of the worst sins in the Bible, and I'm going to tell you why. This busybody has been caught up with this sin. It's called lying. So what's that? Whether they're little white lies or great big white lies, lying. Whether they're half-truths, untruths, or no-truths, it's lying. And the lie is that they tell themselves is this word, this phrase. It's my business. It's my business. And by saying that, they want everybody to think it's their business to run their life. Now, you young people, when you first get married, your parents treat you like you're stupid. And probably they should, but, you know, I don't want to go off on that right now, but I'll say this. If they haven't got you trained by the time they marry you off, you in real trouble.
Amen.
Because here's what's going to happen. There's a brick wall with your name on it out there if you're hard-headed.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's on the next road you're going to turn down. You just don't know which one it's on. But see, if you listen to your parents while you're growing up, you have family devotions, you pray, you read the Bible, you try to get some sense into people, try to raise them right. The Bible says if you train them up the way they should go, when they get old, they won't depart from it.
Right.
They may try to go out and bump heads a little bit, but they'll figure out something. Hey, Daddy was right about that. Mama was right about that. I don't need to do that. That was dumb. But there are some that for whatever reason, they dog their children out all their lives when they get married to try to run their married life. And I'm going to give you a word that will happen every time you do that. It's a Greek word. You ready for it? It's called divorce.
Yeah.
Here's why it'll happen. Let's say that your husband comes up and he says, listen, I noticed that the way you wash my underwear ain't the way my mama did it. You know what you call that? Right across the plate, strike one. And then here's what happens behind that. She never forgets it.
Amen.
But then he goes and tells his mama that she don't wash clothes the way she did. And then she comes back and says, I need to talk to you. And starts meddling in their marriage, trying to tell her how to do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Amen.
For all of you that don't know, if you lift up the washing machine lid right there in English, it tells you how to do the whole thing. There's no excuse for you. But listen to me carefully. Do not get caught in that trap.
Yeah.
I like the marriage advice I got from my daddy. He picked me up the day before I got married. So I'm going to ride around and talk to you a minute, son. Here's what he said. Run your business. Don't bring it to my house.
Amen.
I didn't know if I wanted to get married or not after you said that. I said, I don't know. It's not like he's sending me out to something he don't want to get into. But I found this out later. My sister called one day, and right before she called, Daddy said, she's going to call. You want to bring this boyfriend or something over here, and this other boyfriend's going to fight. He said, don't tell her I'm coming. You call me right then. He said, because I'm going to whoop her when I get a hold of her. He said, but if you don't call me, I'm going to whoop you too. I said, what's the phone number, Pop? I'll call you right away. He said, you tell on your sister? Like that, baby. You know why? I've been whooped by him before. I didn't want no more of that. I was married 25 years old with two children. I didn't want to see my boys get me to take a whooping like that.
Yeah.
She showed up. There was that new boyfriend. The old boyfriend was riding by my house and everything. That little pimp, he looked at me and said, you can go out there and fight him. I said, yeah, let me go call somebody right quick. I'll get somebody on right quick. Boy, he come up there and it was all she wrote. And you know what he said to me? Thank you for not meddling in my business. That's his business. That's his underage child up there.
Yeah.
But mine. Said, but that was your sister. Yeah, but that was my daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Me and her never got in a fight, but I think I might could take her, but I know I couldn't take him. I've tried him 3 or 4 times. I thought when I was 14, I was a man. I wasn't. At 22, it didn't work either. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, the confusion of the busybody is they say that lie they tell themselves, it's my business.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever heard that story told where they said that Adolf Hitler said that if you tell something loud enough, long enough, somebody will believe it? That's misquoted. Adolf Hitler actually said this. He said the people that's trying to rule the world have this one big lie they'll tell. One big lie that's not even believable. But they'll tell it so much they'll believe it themselves. And then they'll get others to believe it. That one lie. And it's huge. Here's that lie. It's my business. That's the big lie. And the big lie you tell repeatedly, after you tell it so much, psychologists are studying this. They can't figure out why people are like this. And because it's not a mental disorder when you get like this. It's just human nature. If you tell a lie long enough, you start believing it yourself, then you start convincing others. Now all of a sudden you got everybody believing a lie is the truth.
Yeah.
And by that, the worst lie that you tell is the one that you believe. One of the worst sins is lying. That's the confusion of the busybody. They find out some information. They either embellish it, add to it, or just flat out lie and make up something and start telling it in order to try to control somebody else's affairs. And they get that thing going and they believe their lie. All of a sudden now they can't look back to when they didn't have that lie. It's been truth the whole time to them. I had somebody tell me, as adults, that they told this story about going out on a farm, and they grew up on a farm and had ducks and cows and horses and hoes and plows and green beans and corn stalks and barns and all this other stuff. And they, boy, I was cornbread fed and raised on taters and beans and all that other stuff. And they told that thing so much that they believe they actually grew up that way. And the fellow that got up and said that thing one day was, he was going up preaching away on that thing. He was telling how he was raised on taters and beans and cornbread and all this other stuff and slopped the hogs, hit the mule and all this other business. And I walked up to him after service and said, "Brother, you grew up in the same neighborhood I did, around the same people I did. You lived in a brick home. Do you even know what a horse looks like?" I said, "I heard your taters and beans story, but I heard everybody going, 'Well, hey, man, that good old country preacher.' You ain't a country preacher. That ain't what you are." But he had told that so much he believed it. Isn't that something? That's sad. Why were they doing that? They was trying to run another man's affairs. In fact, the whole church is full of affairs.
Yeah.
Hey, they still do it to this day. You take a city guy, put him in a country church, if he's a good liar, he'll sit there and become a farmer before it's over with.
Yeah.
I brought in a farmer to hear y'all preach here a while back, Brother Umberger. When I go to his place, I get to see all them things I just named off. I never grew up around stuff like that. I learned about kneeling sheep, why they kneel. They're hurt. But I found out something. I was with him one time in a fellowship. The guy got up there going off about how they raised hogs and did this, that, and the other, and killed 27-foot pythons and all this other stuff. He went to him after service, asked him some questions about them hogs. That guy looked at him like he was a calf looking at a new gate. You know why? Because him and his daddy, Brother Ron Umberger, they raise hogs. They know how to do all that stuff. That guy got up there telling a big old fib. He had told it for so long, he believed it, had everybody else believing it. And listen, don't feel bad and say, "Well, them people are awful like that." Hey, honey, you the same thing.
Yeah.
See, because what will happen is, you'll get up there with family lies. Family lies. Do you know, I've not met anybody around here that's not kin to Indians. I don't care who you are in this building. Somebody's either told you or you've told somebody, "I'm part such and such Indian."
Yeah.
And in reality, you probably not. Just because this is Cherokee County and our football team is the Indians,
yeah.
That don't make us, you know, Native Americans there, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Are you with me?
Get it?
I see a lot of people telling family lies.
Yeah.
Family lies. And one of the biggest ones they tell is, "My kid's the best kid down at that school." That's a family lie.
Yeah.
I went to school here at Corinth. And years later, we had some kids I go to Draytonville, Corinth, several elementary schools. The kids say, come eat lunch with me. I go eat lunch with them. I'd sit in them little chairs, eat them trays. Of course, I'd have three or four trays if they're one, but that's, you know, I'm bigger than they are. And I'm glad none of them parents told me my kid was the best kid in school, because when I got there, I could have took pictures, man, I tell you. They didn't confiscate my phone at the front desk. I could have took pictures and told them, look, your kid's a mess.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell on nobody. What I'm saying is this. Do not fall into some trap like that and lie so much that you believe your kid's a good kid, because when they wind up in prison because you won't correct them because they're a good kid, you hurt yourself. You did that to yourself. You're the busybody and everybody else that matters so much, you couldn't even see what's happening to your own kids. How about these friends' lies? Friends' lies. So what kind of friends' lies? I don't know. What you got? How about these three letters? B, F, F. You young girls got BFF this week. You mad Friday, and you BFF by Monday. But don't worry. These little boys are getting to be drama queens like your little girls now. They're getting about the same way.
Yeah.
But in all actuality, that BFF you had last week, you tried to talk to them and tell them your deepest, darkest secrets. They went out and told everybody at school. Now you embarrassed you don't go to school Monday. You lied to yourself. That wasn't your friend.
Right.
That was an acquaintance. A friend is somebody that develops over years of time.
That's right.
Excuse me. I graduated with 475 people in my graduating class in 1987. If it wasn't for social media, I wouldn't know what none of them looked like. I wouldn't know what any of them looked like. But out of all 475, you know, many of them I've talked to every week, maybe one or two, that I've kept in contact with, and they've kept in contact with me. Isn't that something? So if I say I got 2,000 friends, I may not have 2,000 friends. That might be a Facebook lie.
Yeah.
See, you thought you was popular when you showed up here today. Now you're nobody like the rest of us. Ain't that something? It happens like that. All of a sudden, you look over yourself and say, I really don't have no friends. Hey, listen. Those friend lies, they also work like this. Do you know such? Oh, yeah, I know them. You've been telling yourself you know them so long, you think you do know them. Well, you've watched all their videos on YouTube and on Vero and all them other things. You said, you know what? I know them people. I know what they like and what they dislike and what their favorite color is. Let's go to their house. Well, I can't make it. Why? Because you ain't got the address.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they get hung up on these stars. And I got a Facebook request today from George Clooney. You know who George Clooney is? I thought, man, George Clooney wants to be my friend. Ain't that something? George Clooney. I mean, he's in two of my favorite movies. Oh, brother, where art thou, Batman? What an actor, huh? He's so believable, you didn't know whether he's Bruce Wayne or that other guy that's in prison all the time. You couldn't tell. I thought, man, if I stand with George Clooney, I'd ask him some questions. Then it dawned on me, that's just a liar. That ain't even his real name, probably. I don't know that for sure, but I just know how them things work. I know that Marilyn Monroe's name wasn't Marilyn Monroe, so I figured all the rest of them's lying, too. What was her name? Norma Jean something other, or something like that? Listen here. Hey, here's the biggest lie you can tell yourself is a faith lie. For Christian people, the biggest lie you can tell yourself is you believe God and you don't believe Him. You'll beat yourself to death trying to tell everybody. You'll lie to yourself. I'm a Christian. I believe God. I know God can. You get the prayer closet or the absence of the prayer closet. You don't believe God can do anything. You know why? Your faith lies. You said it so much out in public, you believe it, but in reality, you know, deep down inside, it ain't true. Or even the worst lie than that. That lie by faith where you say, I am a Christian. You know, the biggest lie that you can tell yourself is that one. Because, see, with the word Christian, that word indicates Christ. That's the root word of Christian is Christ. And to be a Christian, you've got to have Christ. All right? The Bible's very plain about that. Either you is or you ain't.
That's right.
But if you spend so much time in the South around all these soul winning people and gospel tracts and sermons and all that, and you hear it so much that you want them people off your back, so you lie to them.
Come on.
And before long, if you're not careful, you'll lie about it. Well, here comes Preacher Jones. He's the new pastor down at that church. I bet Mama sent him down here. Well, what are we going to do? We'll hide the beer in the Playboy magazines before it comes to the door. I mean, for crying out loud, don't let him see that. And then he knocks on the door. Well, how are you, Reverend? Good to see you. Preacher, God bless you. We're so glad you come to our humble home. Preacher John said, I hear you members down there, church. Well, that's true. We was baptized down there. And he says, but I never see you in church. I want you to come back to church. Is there something wrong? Can I fix it? Does somebody need to apologize? You need to apologize to us? Oh, no, we'll be there Sunday. Second one. I'm saying now I'm lying. He leaves, shows up Sunday morning, looks out amongst his vast congregation of people looking at him, and your face ain't looking back.
Yeah.
Well, I had something to do that day. We've had something to do all them days.
Yeah.
You've lied to yourself.
Right.
Then there's this other one where you tell yourself that, and you tell yourself that, and you tell yourself that, and finally somebody says, you know what? Are you going to heaven? You say, I hope so. They say, well, the Bible says you can know so. Well, you know, that's just the Bible's a book of fairy tales. Do you really believe that? Because that means your faith's a lie if you believe that.
Right.
See, that's the confusion of a busybody. You've been out trying to manipulate and con and maneuver your friends and your spouse and everything else, and you've been lying to yourself. Do you know what that means? That means you will not go to heaven because, no, you don't know the Lord. And the saddest lie of all in these faith lies is when people lie and say God is like them. You know what that equals to? Listen to this. That's a reprobate mind.
Right.
So I thought sodomites reprobate mind. No, there's a whole list goes with reprobate mind over there.
Yeah.
Whole list from verse 26 all the way down to verse 31 in Romans chapter 1. That's the people's of a reprobate mind. That's just the crowd we can pick on real easy because we probably ain't got none of them here. Hey, let me tell you something. Reprobate means disqualified. And when somebody's disqualified from something, it means the action stops and they're penalized for what they're doing. Did y'all watch that football game the other week with the Panthers and the New York Giants? Boy, I tell you what, I've never seen such a display of unsportsmanlike conduct in my life out of one player. Now, the Giants fans hollering, well, that other guy started it. No, 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 no. I watched it, too.
Yeah.
Nothing to support evidence like a video.
Yeah.
So after they brought that back up, the guy says, well, they brought a ball bat out on the field before the game. Okay, they're stupid like you are. They brought a baseball bat to a football game. Well, that don't excuse your actions.
Right.
But that guy started telling that so much that he actually believed he had done nothing wrong. But listen to this. You can lie to yourself so much that you believe that you'll get disqualified somewhere down the road for it. But here's the problem. When you get disqualified by a soul-winning person that's saved that wants to see you go to heaven, or will it be after you die and you stand before God, you don't even understand why you're there, because after all, you told yourself you was a Christian all them years. And there you are at the great white throne judgment. God's about to cast you in the lake of fire. And you say, no, God, I'm a Christian. I've said that all my life. But did God say you was one? There's only one way to heaven. And that's not by lies. The Bible says in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Right.
He don't operate on lies at all.
Right.
He wants you to come to the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no perfect people in the world. None whatsoever. And somebody said to me one time, said, now we had a perfect man and we crucified him. No, he was the God-man in the flesh.
Right.
He wasn't just human. I mean, he is born of a virgin son. He is God's son. He is the incarnate deity that we sing about every Christmas.
Right.
Friend, listen. That lie you tell yourself, well, I'm not as bad as a sinner, such and such. No, you're worse because you don't see yourself for what you are. I know this much. When you come to that conclusion, you see yourself how you really are. And this Bible points back to you and you see the mirror of God's Word and shows that you're worthless, that you deserve hell and you deserve every flame and every temperature of the hell. When you see yourself like that, there's a loving Savior, Isaiah chapter 9, who points out this thing right here about evildoers. He says, in Isaiah 9, his arm is stretched out still.
Right.
Even in the midst of all them evildoers. And God calls them all criminals in Isaiah 9. Not one's left out in that statement. And when his arm is stretched out still, that means right to the very last breath, he wants you to come to him. Now listen, we're going to give invitation. If you don't know the Lord and you've been lying to everybody else, that's fine. Don't lie to Jesus.
Right.
Don't lie to the Savior. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you've been fooled up in these sins over here, don't lie to yourself. Get right with God. Get to the altar and repent. Hey, listen, if you need to confess things, do them right. I mean, do them before the Lord himself. But if you're here today, friend, listen, and you had to be in this matter, you had to find out what this is doing, find out what that was doing, what's going on under this little rock over here. Oh, my goodness, look at these tithe envelopes. Are they tithing? Hey, listen, I'm talking to you now. I'm talking to you. You've had to look at all that stuff, check out all this. You need to mind your business.
Right.
Hey, don't be like that. Don't be like that. You know who likes a busybody? Not even a murderer. Not even a thief. Not even an evildoer. They just use them like the busybody would use them.
Right.
Let's stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around.